Good morning, everyone. Gail, thank you so much for coming and agreeing to meet with us and answer some questions we have on Darfur. Tell us a little bit more about the what's going on. We just had this awesome screening last night of Darfur Diaries. Mm-hmm. So we just wanted to follow up on that. Thank you for participating in that as well. So Anne's going to start with the first question.
So the first thing we would like to ask you about is what is your definition of genocide? I hear that there's been some question about what's going on in Darfur. Is genocide, you know, is it genocide? Is it not genocide? So can you give us some background about what's going on in Darfur and if you think it is, in fact, genocide?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a legal term for genocide that was deliberately coined both for the reason of highlighting genocide when it occurs, but also to prevent overstating, if you will, or misuse of the term. And by that standard, which posits that genocide is an intent to wipe out a people in whole or in part based on their ethnicity, their religion, or some other definition, I think what we're seeing in Darfur is clearly genocide. At the same time, there's a part of me that wonders whether we really need to spend a whole lot of time debating whether it's genocide or not. When you have millions of people displaced, when you have hundreds of thousands dead, where you clearly have a government in league with the militia on the ground in Darfur attacking civilians, including young kids, whether or not it's genocide shouldn't really matter. The fact of the matter is that a huge number of civilians are under attack by a government that should, in fact, be protecting them.
Thanks, Gail. That was very enlightening. I think Paige is going to ask our next question.
So there's a lot of support and a lot of media attention behind this recent movement to end the genocide in Darfur. How is the nature of this activism different from activism on other international issues and activism on other cases of mass atrocity? And how can we capitalize on people's concern and take that activism and make it actionable steps, really make a difference with this movement?
Well, I think the activism is extraordinary. It's smart. It's been sustained. I think the leadership has really been from two communities in the main, the faith-based community and young people and students. And I've not seen anything like it since the days of the anti-apartheid movement. And I think everybody who's out there trying to do something is really to be credited, whether it's kind of traditional advocacy that goes for the politics, or a lot of what we're seeing that I would describe, if you will, as a sort of cultural advocacy, where people like the women we met last night have made a film called Darfur Diaries, or you've got musicians and bands doing things, or you've got writers and poets contributing, artists from across the spectrum, to both informing the public and aligning ourselves, I think, to stand up and say this matters to us. And that's really what's important. The conventional wisdom is that, particularly in Africa, that the American people don't really care enough for a politician to take a risk or spend any resources, capital or otherwise, on stopping something like a genocide in Darfur. And I think the message that politicians are getting from across the country is that actually Americans do care, and that we feel very strongly that our principles and our values demand that we be in the forefront of trying to stop the genocide in Darfur. So I think the activism is a great thing. In terms of building on it, I think there are a few things we need to do. And one of the things we hope will contribute is a campaign we're going to be launching after the first of the year, the Center for American Progress and the International Crisis Group, called Enough, which is an attempt to go a little bit deeper on some of the advocacy and bring in a little bit more field information. Part of what we need to do is build the case for a United States that's in the forefront of preventing mass atrocities in the future. So how, while at the same time that we're advocating for an end to the genocide in Darfur, do we build a constituency that says next time we see one of these crises, and tragically we will, let's get out ahead of the curve. Let's prevent it rather than doing what we're doing now, which is responding late.
Thank you very much.
So you touched a little bit on the movement and how they're trying. One of their goals is to obviously influence Congress. What has been done in Congress already, and why hasn't there been a lot of action in Darfur? What does the Congress need to do as far as policy?
Well, interestingly, there has been a fair amount of action out of the Congress, and it's one place where at a time where there's tremendous partisanship on every issue, domestic and international, we've got alignment, I think, between Republicans and Democrats in the Congress. And it's been the Congress that's been leading rather than the executive branch, the office of the president. The president has been outspoken on Darfur, condemned it, used some tough language. But in fact, we have not yet seen the administration put the kind of pressure on Khartoum that would send the message that there's a price to be paid for committing genocide. Right now, Khartoum's calculation is that, frankly, we can do this and get away with it. The worst that Khartoum has experienced, again, is harsh statements. When they refused, for example, to accept a UN peacekeeping force, the international community basically said, well, okay. And if you think that through, what that means is we are asking the perpetrators of genocide for permission to go in and protect their people. And when they say no, we say okay. And so there's something really upside down in that. Congress has been, I think, pressing the case. I think we'll see the new Congress press the case even more. But importantly, I think we'll see both parties out there demanding that the United States do more and that we use our capital and our leverage to see that other countries work with us.
So why haven't some of the other atrocities currently being committed in places like the Congo, Northern Uganda, Central African Republic, garnered as much media attention or inspired as much public activism as Darfur?
That's a really good question. I think there are a couple of answers. One is that the crisis in Darfur is so dramatic. I mean, the very image of the Janjaweed militia on horseback and thousands of civilians fleeing across the border is one that's really stuck in people's minds, and it's one that the media directed its attention towards. The crises in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, which have been ongoing for years now, and in northern Uganda, have not garnered the same kind of media attention. As well, I think the advocacy community is focusing on a key issue because, quite frankly, it's easier to get action there. If you've got a key issue, a key ask, you can mobilize people fairly simply. It's harder when you start adding other issues to the equation. Now, that's one of the things we want to do, in part because there are real live atrocities unfolding in those countries today, but also, and again, so that we're not in a position that every 3 or 4 years we stand up another advocacy movement to demand that we do more to stop atrocities in the next country, in the next country, in the next country, that we move it towards prevention. The last thing I would say on this is, though, just to underscore the media part of the equation. Unless and until we have regular coverage of these kinds of issues, we're not going to be able to sustain or even spark the interest of the American people. If you don't know about it, you're not going to really do anything about it. And while we've had some coverage, there have been some good reporters that have gone to northern Uganda. CNN did a big piece on, for example, the Democratic Republic of the Congo. So long as those are one-offs, you can watch it, you can be moved and appalled, you might do something, you might think about doing something, but you're going to move on to the next issue the next day. So part of what we need is more coverage, but regular coverage.
So one of the elements of prevention is exposure to these mass atrocities.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Which is hand in hand with what we're trying to do over at Real Progress, giving exposure to issues such as the genocide in Darfur through films like Darfur Diaries. So do you think that films also can be an excellent way of, can be a good way of accomplishing this?
I think it's a really, really important way. For those of us who live and work in Washington, we can very easily fall into the wonky, boring policy language and analysis that people go by around here. And if you're outside Washington, or if politics and policy is not your full-time business, which is true of most people, having the point of entry being something that is very policy-bound or Washington-bound is sometimes difficult, not very accessible, and frankly, not all that interesting. I think that film allows for a number of things. It allows for people to see the people themselves, as in Darfur Diaries. It allows people to understand their stories first rather than kind of the policy first. So if you look at Darfur Diaries, if you look at Dave Eggers' new book with Valentino Deng, those kinds of things turn victims and statistics and numbers into real people. And I think that's enormously important because if we're going to be effective, we've got to find multiple ways to make the story accessible to as many people as possible. And I think films are absolutely critical to that. And I think we've already seen from Real Progress that we get a different audience, that we get an audience that is moved, and we get an audience that includes some people who say, hey, I really need to do my bit. So I think it's a great thing.
Thanks, Gail. As a final question, what can people do who are seeing the news reports, they see movies like Darfur Dives, they're interested, what can they do themselves to really make a change in this movement?
Well, I think there are a number of things, and one of the key things is stay informed, because there, as I say, unfortunately going to be more crises like this over time, and the more we know and the earlier we know it, as Paige suggests, the better positioned we'll be to prevent or stop it. There are a number of good groups out there. We have worked very closely with the Genocide Intervention Network, for example. There is a tremendous divestment effort underway with a divestment task force that is looking at targeting the financial resources of the perpetrators of genocide in Darfur and ensuring that investments aren't indirectly supporting those people. So I think all of those things are important. Again, we will be launching Enough very soon. And one of the things we will be offering to people is a way to get at these issues at multiple levels. There are very, very many ways to influence the outcome here. There are the direct ways of calling on the president and the Congress to do more on Darfur. There are the budgetary ways. There are lots of ways we spend money that affect whether or not we do the right thing in Darfur. There is calling on our media to do more. We've done some work in this area, and I think that if the media hears, again, from its viewers, just like politicians, and if they hear from viewers that viewers are interested in this, we'll see more of it. So I think it's keeping ourselves informed. It's maintaining a level of activism, and no amount is too small. You don't have to be a full-time activist to make a difference on this. But then it's sustaining that interest, because I firmly believe that only if we make clear to the powers that be, whether in political office or in the media, that we're really serious, we're here for the long term, we're smart, we know where the bodies are buried, and we're not going to let go until we're the leaders of prevention rather than some of the last to respond, we won't succeed. So just stay engaged and don't ever think that a small bit of activism is not enough. Every bit counts in a really big way.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Gail. That was really, really informative and very helpful, and I know has definitely inspired me to stay involved in fighting this genocide.
Thank you very much. Keep it up.